Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we want to talk about the global cooling front we mentioned yesterday, the growth, the buildup of ice in Greenland. It's really a stunning statistic. We'll talk about the application these days for healthcare. Cheryl and I, my wife and I, have been applying for weeks now. It's a nightmare beyond measure. And you can't even avoid Obamacare. So I wanted to share some of that with you. Also today, from Real Science Radio, we emailed our new 10-minute science video to two of the leading creation ministries. And we did that because we're offering them an opportunity to preview it because it's somewhat critical of something they're teaching about the fountains of the great deep. In Genesis, the fountains that brought on the global flood. And so we're offering them, if you spot an error in it, we'd like to correct this before we post it on Friday in time for our latest Real Science Radio show. So those are some of the things we'd like to talk about. But the big thing is, and this is also science news, wow, CRISPR. If you listen to Bob and Yurt Live, if you listen to Real Science Radio, you know what CRISPR is? Well, CRISPR gene editing has been tested on a person for the first time ever. This is somewhat shocking. The first human being has now been injected with CRISPR gene editing cells. So we've done a few shows on targeted antibodies, and we've done a program back earlier this year with pro-life activist Joe Scott on CRISPR, and CRISPR is a stunning piece of technology that could practically save the world, medically speaking. Not really, that's a bit of an exaggeration. But sky's the limit with the possibilities, but then also it's a potential nightmare because it is so easy to use it and to acquire it. You could spend $1,000, literally, $1,000. I've been on the internet for hours looking at all the places you can buy the CRISPR gene editing tool, the whole set. And then you start editing the genomes of living organisms. It really is shocking. So it used to be you needed, you know, multi-million dollar facilities, research universities, hospitals, but today, mom and pop shops can do it. Anybody could do it. A terrorist could do it with just a little bit of know-how. So for the first time ever, this comes from China. A human being has been injected with cells that were edited using CRISPR. So let's hear, you know, as with so many topics, probably 1,000 topics, our website is designed to be a resource for conservatives, for Christians. And so, for example, you hear about CRISPR, and it's spelled without the E. So C-R-I-S-P-R, CRISPR. And you hear about it, and you wonder, well, what's that about? If you go to our website, kgov.com/CRISPR, you find out. And for example, we have probably the best tutorial available on the line. We embedded it on our kgov.com/CRISPR page. So it's about 3 minutes long, but I think before we continue with this story, it'll be good for us to listen to this together so that we're all on the same page, understanding a bit better what CRISPR is. So let's listen to this.
Right now, there's a very special mosquito flying around a laboratory in California. It's carrying a genetic weapon, one that might be capable of wiping out one of the world's most deadly diseases, malaria, which kills 500,000 people every year. All that suffering might end if we just open the window and let this creature out. But will we do it? The mosquito is just one project of thousands for a new gene editing tool called CRISPR that's absolutely transforming biological science. It's only 4 years old, but in preliminary lab experiments, it's already been used to eliminate HIV, reverse mutations that cause blindness, and stop cancer. It could even one day be used to reverse human aging. More than $1 billion has been invested, and this really is just the beginning. CRISPR works like a pair of DNA scissors. Geneticists program a piece of RNA, much like they would write a bit of software code, and that guides the scissors to a very specific location on the genome. Snip, snip, and out goes any unwanted genes, and in goes the good stuff. The breaks in the double helix heal automatically. This is true cut-and-paste genetics, and it's making the science fiction of a decade ago seem completely plausible today. CRISPR shortens genetic engineering work from years to weeks and reduces the cost of each experiment from more than $5,000 before CRISPR to less than $50 now. A person with a background in genetics can learn the basics in a day or two. The genome is now a dry erase board that anyone can scribble on. Consider our mosquito. Scientists have successfully used CRISPR to deliver a genetic tweak that makes mosquitoes immune to the malaria parasite, so they can't spread it to humans. But there was still a problem. How to get this gene to spread through an entire population of mosquitoes? Genetic changes are usually only inherited by half an organism's offspring and by a quarter of those offspring's offspring. It's quickly swallowed up by a large gene pool. But last year, scientists unveiled another CRISPR breakthrough, a gene drive that pushes the genetic changes to almost 100% of offspring. Mosquitoes reproduce so quickly, immunity could flash through an entire population of mosquitoes in a single season. Boom, no more malaria. The gene drive isn't perfect yet, but it's getting there. And the biggest question holding the mosquito back is no longer about the science of what's possible, but of what's advisable. Are we really ready to take over the blueprints of life on Earth? There isn't much time for debate. Soon, some of the first human trials will use CRISPR-based therapies to treat genetic diseases. A farm in North Carolina is preparing to raise CRISPR pigs in order to transplant their organs into humans. Dow DuPont is already field testing new versions of wheat and corn, and by 2020, you can bet that all sorts of subtly different fruits, vegetables, and even meats will start showing up in your grocery store. CRISPR is the key to unlocking bioengineering, for better and maybe for worse. An international summit of scientists met in Washington in December to agree on some basic limits to ethical CRISPR research. Regarding human embryos, they decided that research should continue, but that the human genome shouldn't be altered in ways that can be passed to future generations. At least, not yet. Right now, the CRISPR field is fraught with some pretty freaky science and ethical conundrums, and the human species truly must tread carefully. But with the promise that CRISPR offers, we may come to a point where it's unethical to keep the window closed on some of this technology. And that time may be coming sooner than you think.
All right, so, CRISPR. Did you notice he said, snip, out goes the bad stuff and in goes the good stuff? Well, in goes the good stuff, unless there's someone with bad intentions using CRISPR. And then the tool could be used to look for biomarkers of certain people groups and then insert something dangerous. And did you notice he said it used to be that a genetic lab for every experiment, they'd have to cough up maybe $5,000. Now with CRISPR, less than $50 for a genetic alteration. That's a, wow. Talk about a brave new world. So it's tremendous and it's scary. It's both. People are all worked up one way or another about GMOs, genetically modified organisms. Well, we human beings are going to be GMOs. In fact, there's one right now in China. And this is a patient at the West China Hospital in Chengdu. And on October 28th, there's an oncologist who led a team from Sichuan University. And they injected modified cells into a patient with aggressive lung cancer. Now, what they're doing, and you could you know, the sky's the limit based on your creativity and knowledge of a genome. But what they're doing is they're attempting to use the immune system to attack cancer cells. We've done two programs now on the use of targeted antibodies to attack cancer cells. And the news has been stunning. I mean, the greatest success so far has come with blood cancers, including leukemia, but also with lung cancer, advanced lung cancer. One patient thinking he's ready to die, and the results have been stunning. Oncologists have begun to use the word cure. Not that they know that they have a cure, and oncologists don't use the word cure, at least not for the last 50 years. But oncologists, cancer doctors, specialists are beginning to think in terms of the word cure. Now, every different kind of cancer would require retargeting, so to speak, of the antibodies, the human immune cells. But this is an absolutely stunning development. In the blood cancer tests, you had to have advanced leukemia in order to qualify for the experimental treatment. So I know, you know, I've been on the radio, TV for 25 years, and there are countless folks selling health and nutrition products that, you know, of course, the FDA would close them down if they heard the claims, but they'll say, you know, quietly, this will cure cancer. And I've heard it for 25 years now, and I've seen it, and I've seen people who have cancer and get their hopes up and they die. And so what's always said is, well, they were too far along. The cancer had progressed to a late stage. They should have come to me sooner. What's interesting about these targeted antibody studies is, and these are studies in the U.S. and in the U.K. and now here in China, where in order to qualify, you have to have advanced stage cancer. That's how they're beginning. And there have been a number of people now who have, I mean, the patients are using the word cured as far as they could tell. And of course, it's still early. This is all over the last 3 years, but they feel like they're cured. One patient in England was sent out of the hospital to go to hospice because there was nothing more they could do for this man. And then he got on this targeted antibodies treatment, and just, 3 weeks later, he went home. And he said, as far as I could tell, I'm completely recovered. And he thought he was going to die within 2 weeks. So the fact that this is going on in China now, at the West China Hospital, with the first human being, as far as we know, who has been injected with CRISPR-modified cells, right? This is CRISPR gene editing tested in a person for the first time. This easily could start a war of sorts between Chinese scientists in the U.S. and the U.K. and elsewhere, everybody trying to leapfrog one another and win a Nobel Prize. But at the same time, it's also, of course, potentially horrific. It's a tool, and it's a tool that we may not be smart enough to use it completely wisely. But even if we had the knowledge to use it wisely, then forget about the idea that it could fall into the wrong hands. The wrong hands just have to buy it on the internet. It doesn't have to fall into the wrong hands. Like people say, oh, I don't know what happened to me. I fell in love, and now we're miserable. You fell in love? Was like a pothole. You didn't know what you were doing. So forget about this falling into the wrong hands. If ISIS wanted to, they could just order the kit off the internet. So, and of course, obviously, you have to understand aspects of the genome, the DNA sequence inside a living organism, whatever living organism you're targeting. And it could be human, or it could be wheat, or it could be whatever, mosquitoes. This was discovered by MIT. Well, actually, Berkeley, MIT, they're locked in this epic billion-dollar battle, a lawsuit, a fight over the patent for CRISPR. And the history of how it was discovered is just another example of the battle between creation and evolution, and how evolution, Darwinism, tends to keep people in ignorance. So they sequenced the genome of a bacteria, and they found this repeating pattern. This repeating pattern, and part of the letters of CRISPR has to do with what these scientists noticed, and they thought it was junk. It was just this long repeating sequence, and there was symmetry to it. It was a pattern. And like a number of repeating DNA letters, and then the same thing in a mirror image. And they thought, look at this. This is all junk. What is this junk for? It has no function. Well, then, I think that might have been back around 2011. It's all very recent. So then, in a short time, they realized this was not junk. This was a wildly sophisticated genetic engineering tool. This was like a gene gun. The gene gun that was invented by a dear friend of ours, of Real Science Radio, John Sanford from Cornell University, who's a young Earth creationist. So he got a patent? Didn't he get a patent on the gene gun? Where you have a genome, or you have a gene, and you want to modify it. And so here's a big device, a machine, to do that. Well, bacteria, and you can have many bacteria inside of one cell in your body. So you have trillions of cells in your body, and each one could have hundreds of bacteria or more. So what do you have, 100 trillion bacteria in your body? Something like that. So inside those bacteria, some of them, they have this tool where they can modify the genome of another organism. So this random stretch of DNA that the scientists at Harvard thought was junk, it was actually like a locking station to lock on to a chunk of DNA in another organism. So it locks on, it makes an incision, and it inserts whatever DNA it wants to put in the other organism. You realize how complicated that is? Imagine with your cell phone, if you came up with some kind of physical docking device, and you take your phone, it docks with someone else's phone, and then you transfer code from your phone into their phone, but the code is only a little piece of code that goes into some other app, and it changes the app in the way you want it changed. Sounds pretty sophisticated, no? Imagine bacteria doing that. Bacteria do that. And so at Harvard, they figured out this is not just junk DNA. This is nanotechnology, a gene editing machine in nanotechnology. So they thought, you know, we could probably control this. And we could make this gene editing by the bacteria, we could make it insert whatever genetic information we want inserted. So they used the tools that they had at their disposal, modified this, they call it CRISPR, and now they realize they can make money by selling this. And so they start selling it, and now you could buy it yourself if you want to buy it. On your kitchen table, for less than $1,000, you could start editing the genome of yeast, for example, yeast. I mean, learn what you're doing, and you could edit the genome of a human being. So it's all rather stunning. It's astounding. Certainly, you know what we'll do on today's show summary at kgov.com? We'll include a video, that tutorial that we just heard, so you could watch it and see the visual animation of it and get a better understanding of what's going on. And then I'm going to link to two of our programs. We did a program, Real Science Radio Explains Cancer Antibody Treatment. And that show is just a stunning program with a longtime friend of Real Science Radio's going back a few years. And we're going to link to that show. His name is Jonathan Bartlett. And then we're going to link to a show we did with a molecular biologist, Kevin Anderson, who helps us understand more about targeted antibody cancer treatment. And the fact that you don't hear this from the mainstream media, I mean, you would think that on a regular basis, once a week, there would be leading the news the latest test using targeted antibody treatments. But, and I know I'm not a big consumer of mainstream news, but for the most part, it seems like they're missing the boat. And if you want to learn about this stuff, you tune into Real Science Radio or Bob and Yurt Live or figure out how to do the searching on the internet. Okay, so that's CRISPR with the big headline of the first human being to undergo gene editing using CRISPR. All right, now, real quick, global cooling, on the global cooling front. Yesterday we mentioned the Earth's precipitous drop in cooling through much of this year, 2016. I mean, it's astounding. We posted the graph to show, compared to since the 1970s, how the temperature globally on land has plummeted over the last 8 months. Well, and a related news story has to do with the growth of ice in Greenland. Now, I know there are liberals who think that ice only melts in the world these days. But ice, actually, in Antarctica, the North Pole, we've had tremendous buildups of ice in the last few years when we were supposed to be losing all that ice. But in Greenland, how much new ice are they getting per day in Greenland? Now, Greenland's pretty far north, right? Far from the equator. How much new ice? Well, 3.5 billion tons. 3.5 billion tons of new ice per day in Greenland, and that is dramatically higher than their historical norm for October, November. For this time of the year, 3.5 billion tons, they're smashing all records for ice increase. Hey, we might be in the era of global cooling, which means we got to warm this thing up, so burn all the fossil fuels you can. Coal, oil, drive your car as much as you possibly can afford to drive it. All right. Now, Obama, if you like your doctor, you could keep your doctor. If you like your insurance plan, you could keep your plan. Well, Cheryl and I, with our sons at home, we have had our health insurance for, I don't know, at least 10 years. We've had this one company. And we found out recently they're dropping us. Now, we pay them a fortune per month. They're dropping us. So, all right. You've heard about the nightmare of using the state health connector websites, the Obamacare, they're basically Obamacare websites. You've heard about the nightmare, right? Well, whatever nightmare you've heard about, triple it, how bad it is right now to use these government websites. We wanted to get private insurance. We want to go through Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Kaiser Permanente, whatever. We didn't want to do Obamacare. Now, Obamacare is socialism. It's not immoral to use socialism, but it is immoral to advocate for, to defend socialism. That's immoral. So we know it's not immoral to use Obamacare, but we don't want it. Well, we're told by all these insurance brokers, by the companies themselves, you have to go through Obamacare. You got to go through, here in Colorado, your state Colorado Connect Health website. You just got to do it. We said, well, we don't want to do it. They said, you have to, because we said, well, we don't qualify for government health care. We do work for a living. They said, well, you have to apply, and then you get turned down. That's how it works. But when you get turned down, they'll tell us how much they'll subsidize your monthly premium for. So we're like, are you kidding us? So anyway, we've been doing all this. It's now 3.5 weeks. I've been on the phone with these people probably 3 hours. Cheryl has been on the phone without exaggeration about, we were estimating yesterday, about 28 hours so far. How could they possibly make money? Oh, wait, they don't make money. The government pays for it. So they've said, okay, we turned you down. Oh, that's a surprise. But we will give $1,050 a month toward your health insurance premium. $1,050 per month? We said to the agent, the broker, that's a huge amount of money. And he said, oh, not really. The premiums are up so high. And so we looked at all the options, and our insurance is something like $1,600 a month. So we have to pay around $550 a month. It's immoral. It's socialism. It's interventionism. Donald Trump is a socialist. He wants government health care reform, and he just wants it to be Trump care instead of Obamacare. He says insurance companies have to accept you with a pre-existing condition. That's like not getting homeowners insurance until your house burns down and then calling up and saying, I want homeowners insurance. Well, why are you calling? Well, my house just burned down. Well, and you have no choice because Donald Trump said you have to insure me. So socialism promotes irresponsibility. That's just one of the ways it backfires, because it's immoral. Because God said, thou shalt not steal. So, hey, we're out of time today. May God bless you.